Have your Bibles turning with us to the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. And before I read the Word of God today, I want to challenge you. But I want you to put your faith antennas up today. You know, sometimes we just bop into church and it's the thing to do. You never know the Sunday you're going to need everything I'm preaching more than you've ever needed it in your life. And that goes for me too. I mean, you know, we say, well, we're doing the right thing and we're hearing God, you know. But hey, I'm going to tell you what. When you face a crisis of life, you grab for every assurance that you can put your faith hand upon. And so today I want to bring one of those messages that, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most bedrock truths that God has placed into my life. I have a special anointing in this area and I make no bones about it. God anoints me to encourage and to help. And wherever we go, we don't go to tear people down. We go to lift people up and help people and encourage them to fulfill their destiny and their gift and their giftings in the things of God. And that's the same thing we try to do here at home. The 6th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And notice especially here in John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? If you'd let me paraphrase it, only you have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I'd like to minister this morning on what will keep you strong when others fall. What will keep you strong when others fall? How can you stand strong when others fall? Do not choose to do that. Now let me ask you some questions, real questions of life. What keeps you serving God? Pressure of a parent, pressure of a child, pressure of circumstances. What keeps you in a marriage? What keeps you in a church where you know God has put you, but you just never quite seem to know what to do? Because the pieces never fit until they commit. What keeps you making right decisions? What happens to someone that makes right decisions and they veer off course and start making wrong decisions? Airline pilots don't have the luxury of doing that. They know the only way you're going to land that plane is to stay on course. You don't play with the numbers. You don't decide to do this and decide to do something else. It's not a fighter plane. It's transporting people. The name of the game is leave point A and land at point B. What keeps you making right choices, right decisions? What keeps you overcoming stuff in you and overcoming stuff in others? There's a two-edged sword in overcoming. Overcoming the stuff in me, but also overcoming the stuff in others. Heard a talk show host the other day, said it about 3 times in a few minutes. That just drives me nuts. I thought, boy, you better change your vocabulary. We're going to be visiting you in a padded cell somewhere. What keeps you overcoming stuff in your life and also overcoming stuff in the lives of others? That's what overcoming is all about. You know, most of us think we've got it all together. It's just those other people. Well, that's still a word called overcoming. overcoming the stuff in you, but also overcoming the stuff in others. And the stuff that bothers you and others, they usually don't have a clue. They're just happily going down the freeway of life. Life is great. What's wrong with you? What helps you to hold steady when you don't get a good report from the doctor? What helps you to hold steady when there's bad news in the newspaper? What keeps you on course? Very important questions. Because the Bible said that there were those that attended Loaves and Fishes Sunday. Can you believe a church that feeds you? And yet, the Bible said from that time forward they went back and followed Jesus no more. There were those that were healed, those whose lives were forever changed, who just went back. Think about it. In fact, the Bible said from that time, verse 66, John's Gospel chapter 6, verse 66, from that time there was a point and there was a time when many, not a few, but many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. In fact, it was such a severe thing that happened, Jesus turned to his own inner circle and he said, "Are you leaving also?" And Peter responded so beautifully on that occasion. Let me ask you a question. What was wrong with Jesus? What was wrong with Jesus? Something's bound to have been wrong with a man like that. Was anything wrong with Jesus? No. Could you think of one thing that was wrong with Jesus? No. You know, these are very interesting questions. And God wants us to, I'm just stirring up your pure mind. These are questions that we need to think about. Because the Bible said they went back. Now, some people say, boy, if you make a disciple out of someone, they'll never move, never go. Well, excuse me, right here, we have some mass exodus on, and people are called disciples because loyalty and faithfulness and all that, that's a thing of the heart. I don't have to wake up every morning and say, am I going to stay with Joy? I've lived with this woman for many years. I mean, I don't have to wake up and make a decision. Am I going to continue to be her husband? She's the best wife I've ever had. I'm going to stay with her. But many departed from Jesus and walked no more with him. Now I'm leading up to something. And Jesus turned. Could you ever forget that memory of those eyes looking at you and saying, are you going away too? What do you say? What do you do? Well, let me tell you, Peter didn't always rise to the occasion in the appropriate way. But if there was ever a time in the Scripture, and I know there were many other times, read 1 and 2 Peter, it's going to have a totally different meaning. Read 1 and 2 Peter after I finish these verses and after I'm through preaching the Word of God today. You just sit down and read through 1 and 2 Peter, and it's going to make more sense than it's ever made to you, because Peter walked out the confession that he made, the belief that he made. Then Simon Peter, the man that cut your ear off, the man that wasn't there at the cross, the man that went to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, you know this, what's wrong with Jesus? It kind of encouraged me the other day. His ministry lasted 3 years, right? And so we're 3 years out of the storm. He didn't have a decent office. He didn't have a regular office. You never knew where he was going to hold church. Strange pastor. Today it may be on the hillside. Tomorrow it may be on the mountaintop. Next week it may be down somewhere else. Strange man. For 3 years, you talk about a little bit of irregularity. Things were kind of strange. But the people found him. The people found him. Didn't have regular office hours. Didn't have an office. Met in different places. Strange pastor. Strange man. Well, 3 years and he was out of here. 3 years and we're doing some turnaround. Praise God. And we're going to see God do things in a greater way. And really, he had quite a dysfunctional staff. I mean, you never knew what they were going to do. You never knew. These guys would go to sleep in a prayer meeting. I mean, you call a staff prayer meeting. They're just... Strange bunch. Wanted to call down fire on people. Torch them, God. Full of love. Get them, God. Remember, the multitudes have left. Jesus turns and says, "Will you also go away?" And then Simon Peter answered him. And he said, five things that will keep you strong when others are weak. Five things that will keep you standing when others are falling. Five things that will hold you in place when right seems wrong and wrong seems right. When you don't understand the things that are surrounding your life. And there are days like that. As Paul said, there's times when we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more than exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are what? Unseen are eternal. Five things Simon Peter said. And if you'll get a hold of this, hell will not be able to shake you no matter what's going on in your life. First of all, Simon Peter said, Lord, Lord. Because the truth of it is, if Jesus is Lord, no one else will be Lord in your life. If Jesus is Lord, nothing else, no material possession, no achievement or trophy in life will be your Lord. Who or what is Lord in your life? Lord means there is nothing else. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is everything. And that's what Christianity is all about. He's not one of many good teachers. He's not one of many saviors. He's not one a noble person. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is Lord. So when he said, are you also going to go away? He said, Lord, good beginning. And then he went on to say, to whom shall we go? Lord, there's nowhere else to go. I'm not going to serve another God. I'm not going to follow a false cult or religion. I don't know who's behind, well, I do know what's behind so much of this press stuff, but I mean, they're just doing double flips backwards over cults and cultish religions. And yet someone who professes Jesus Christ is some kind of a weirdo. I'm going to tell you, there is no one that is Lord but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You can build all the mosque you want to build. You can build all the tabernacles you want to build. You can build all the shrines to whoever. But my friend, when it's all said and done, you will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you will acknowledge him as Lord. Things are flying in your face. Acknowledge Jesus is Lord over everything that's going on in your life. He's Lord over everything that's going on in your life. Number two, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere else to go. What did he say to the prophet? Go there and I will feed you. You don't just go anywhere. Go there. You find God's there for you. Go there. But Lord, it's a wilderness. Go there. But Lord, there's no one there to fellowship with. Go there. But Lord, the creek is drying up and the birds are not delivering food any longer. Okay, I have another there for you. God always has the right there. And Peter said, Lord, there's nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. The third thing that Peter said, he said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, only you have the word. The word. The word of God. If there's anything I've preached from the very beginning of this church, and I shout it from the housetops to this very moment, get a grip on the promises of God. Read the word for yourself. Whatever it takes, underline it. Put a red pencil or yellow marker, whatever you have to do, color code it. Find God's words that are quickened to your spirit. Hold on to them and do not let go. Lord, you're the only one that has the word. The words of eternal life. Now, let me tell you something about a New Testament church. A New Testament church has life content. I had a businessman that just called and called. Finally, I had a cup of coffee with him. And he went right down the list. And I'm listening. And he said, what's wrong? I said, where you are is not working. The word's not really preached. No joy, no life. No one gets saved in your church. He said, I feel defeated putting my tithe in and I never see anyone come to Jesus. I said, okay, it's not working. For you, it's not working. You need to find where it does work. No one being saved. No life. No message to help you make it through the week. You just come and someone beat you on the head again. I said, it's not working. What don't you understand about it's not working? Make your own decision. Find life. Find life. Find answers. Find someone that has a solution. Find life. Oh, thank God thou hast the words of eternal life. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. Take everything I have, but give me my Bible and I'll come out and I'll come through victorious through it all. Others are falling, but Peter is telling us how to stand. Lord, only you have the words of eternal life. And then he said, are you ready for this? And we believe. Lord, the core that is here is a core of believers. I don't know what they believe, but we believe. We are believers. And we believe. Could I say it like this? And I believe. I believe. And then he said something else. I believe that you're and are sure. Are sure. Are sure. Are sure. You meet them in any church, you meet them in any community. Every time you see them, they have a different idea. Every time you see them, they have a different philosophy. They're not sure about anything. They really are not sure about anything. They haven't really settled anything. Because unbelief always has a hard time finding the will of God. Amen. Unbelief always has a hard time finding the will of God. Being led by the flesh and not the spirit is a very dangerous pathway. And Jesus just got through saying the very same thing. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, it is the flesh that profits nothing. He said, we are sure. Now, Pastor, what does this boil down today? Well, actually, it means nothing unless you get what I'm talking about. I preached this last Sunday morning in the Caribbean, and they're still talking about it. And they came together and had a special meeting and went over their notes. Pastor Maureen said, that message has been a life-changing message. Isn't it something how God takes something so simple? The problem is we try to make the Word of God so hard, so complex, and God loved these precious people so deep, oh deep, but they don't even know how to tie their shoelaces. They don't know how to make it through the day. They don't know how to be victorious. They don't know how to overcome spirits of offense. I mean, they don't know anything about overcoming. It's just me, me, me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. I was in a business place the other day, and a lady was walking around the shop. She said, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And I happened to have met her. I said, "All of us make poor gods, ma'am." She said, "You're right, but it's still all about me, all about me, all about me." Okay. All of us make poor gods. So when things are crumbling, falling, the foundation seems to be shaking beneath your feet, when you don't really seem to know which way to go or what to do, remember what Peter said. Five things, class, I'm teaching this morning. Jesus is Lord. I mean, no matter what you're facing, Lord, don't call your problem Lord. Don't call your opportunity Lord. Call Jesus Lord. Lord. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. I have found my there. Every bird knows their nest. Watching some birds out the window the other day, it's so fascinating to watch God's nature. Had time to watch some birds for a change. Interesting. Interesting day. There's nowhere else to go. You could not talk that robin in going over to the mockingbird's nest. I'm talking about, they know their own, the sparrow knows its nest. The little exotic birds, they know their nest. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. So, looks like we're going to stay here until we get an answer from God. We're going to find a solution to this pollution. We're coming through the difficulties of life. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. Lord, only you have the words of eternal life. Thank God for the Word of God. What word has helped change your life? We all have different verses. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My trust is in God. Did you ever notice how many times in the Psalms, it just, a little bell went off in my head. David said, "But I put my trust in thee. But I put my trust in thee." All the bad guys are up to all this bad stuff, and man, someone wants to do this and so. But he said, "But I put my trust in thee." See, that's what kept David on course. He was surrounded by a lot of different things, but you just read a little while and he said, "But I put my trust in thee. I put my trust in thee. I will trust in the Lord in all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will trust in thee, O God." Lord, nowhere else to go. Only you have the words of eternal life. Is there anyone's word that is dominating your life outside of the Word of God? I went into a very successful businessman's office one day, and his Bible was open at Proverbs. In fact, he asked someone to do it, and they had the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. He said, "You find a lot of people that have New Testament and Psalms," but he said, "It's hard to find New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs." And he said, "Every day I read a proverb. Every day I read a chapter from the Proverbs." And he said, "It keeps me on track. It keeps me on track. The wisdom of God in Psalms keeps me praising the Lord and trusting in God." Then he went on to say, "And we believe." You just can't defeat a real believer. You can't stop a real believer. You really can't. I mean, you might slow them down. You might hinder their pathway. You can't stop a real believer. Someone who really believes with all their heart that they know, that they know, that they know, that they know. They're not a supposer. They're not a doubter. They're not a dreamer. They're a believer. I believe God. But there's one more step there. And we are sure. We are sure. All right, I've given you the test. I've let you write your notes, and now we're going to take the examination. How to stand when others fall. how to be strong when others are weak. I'm taking my time with it because sometimes we get carried away with the preaching and we forget some of the important points. I want you to get a grip on what I'm talking about today. I mean, this is a very serious situation. What was wrong with Jesus? Nothing wrong with Jesus. But from that time, many went away and did not follow Jesus any longer. Turns to Peter. He said, okay, Peter, you guys next. And Peter said, are you ready? Step number one. Lord. Say it out loud.
Lord.
Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
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 Number two, he said, there's nowhere else to go. Where are you going? Where are you going? What you gonna do? Well, I don't know, man. There's nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. We're eliminating negatives today. Jesus is Lord. Nowhere else to go. There's only one word that works for your life, and it's the Word of God. Only one word. Only the Word of God. The promises of God. Oh, I'm fascinated every time I read the Word when all of a sudden one word or one verse or one chapter leaps from the pages and it sparks faith in my heart. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. And we believe. We believe. I believe. I believe God. I believe you, Lord. I believe your promises. I believe God. I believe. Well, is there anything else to say about that? Yes, I'm sure. The argument's over. No debate. That's it. I'm sure. Are you saved? Yes. How did you get saved? I believed. Well, are you saved now? But you find someone that says, I have believed, and I'm sure. I'm sure. I am sure. I am born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are under the blood. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am sure. Well, most of you have already made 100 on the test, but we're working with others that are challenged. There's some that are scripturally challenged here today. And you're waiting for me to tell a sad story about the bird that died or the cat that got run over by the car. You're waiting for me to give you a soulish realm story so you can shed a few tears. Let me tell you something. The Word of God can work dry-eyed or it can work weepy-eyed. I see a lot of things sometimes on television. I've been in a lot of conferences where someone just got people's soulish realm so stirred up. I mean, they were climbing the walls. But when it was all over, they didn't know what the man said. I thank God for emotion. I like high energy. I like church ought to be the most exciting place in town. But if you walk out those doors and say, whoa, we felt so good. Whoa, what did he say? Well, I don't remember. Monday morning comes and you fall on your face, and Tuesday morning comes and you fall on your face, and Wednesday morning comes and you just keep falling on your face, when what you heard on Sunday would have kept you walking in victory all week long. Friend, the Bible is not how fast, how short, how funny, how whatever. The Bible is life, and that more abundantly. And one verse, one word from God can safely carry you around the world. And I've been around much of this world. You know, God love him. Yeah, I know Peter made mistakes. And yes, he was human. And, you know, sometimes you just want to wring his neck, you know. And I guess sometimes heaven's felt that way about some of us, maybe. I don't know. But no matter what's happening, Lord, there's nowhere else to go. I found my there. I have found my place. No other word. I believe. But you don't understand what the papers say. You don't understand what the politicians say. You don't understand. I believe. I believe. I believe. Because we found out that newspapers print false stories. We found out that leading publications have to fire people sometimes because they fabricate too many stories. And we find out that some of the most reliable sources of news were not reliable sources at all. But God has never had to put out a special disclaimer and said, oh, I don't know what happened to us. We had a bad day in heaven. I don't know how Mark 11, I don't know how it all, that stuff about mountains, I mean, we just got carried away. I don't know what happened to us. We just got carried away in the board meeting in heaven that day. God has never had to put a disclaimer on the word of God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter what pit of despondency you may be in, God loves you. God loves you, period. God loves you just like you are. He wants you to change, but He loves you and He'll receive you just as you are. He's a good God. I believe and I am sure. It's the only thing that's kept me. These five points have kept me through all these years. Kept me when everything was closing in. Kept me when there was no exit door. Kept me when there was no hope, when there was no help. And I was just thinking yesterday, we did for this precious brother what no one did for us. But we sowed seed in someone else's life. We helped someone else do what they could have never obtained that loan at that time. We gave away precious equity. We needed every dollar of it, but it wasn't enough, so we just sowed it. And now look at the harvest that's coming from the trot line of this Calvary Cathedral International. The Hispanic harvest, the Caribbean harvest, the African harvest, the harvest in our communities as we go out to the different communities, the harvest. Oh, by the way, a flight attendant came up and she said, I know that voice. We're on our way to San Juan, on the way to Grenada. And she said, I know that voice. And she said, you're a minister. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh, you're Bob Nichols. She said, I know that voice. She said, we've heard your broadcast, my husband and I, and they're living in Branson, Missouri now. But she said, I couldn't tell you how many times we've heard the broadcast and you said something that changed our life. And she said, we are frequent callers to the Power Tower. Tell the people at the Power Tower, thank you. Thank you to the prayers at the Power Tower. Folks, you don't know how far your prayers are going. You don't know the extent that your faith in God is making all over the world. Sometimes you pray and you just say, well, I wonder, you know, what's the deal? I'm telling you, God blesses presence. Just being there. Just standing there, just praying there, just being faithful there.